Whenever I travel by airplane, I have a habit of saying a couple prayers that come to mind. One when we are taking off, and one when we are landing. You know, the two most critical times in the flight. During takeoff, I usually pray the words that Jesus says from the cross, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And it just seems like the right thing to do at the time. Lifting off into the loving arms of God with our whole, we're all in, you know. Once you get to takeoff speed, you're going. You're going to fly or not. On the way down, it's generally been my habit of reciting the Lord's Prayer. It's just, you know, it's right there. It's and you know, it doesn't have anything to do with my fear. I love flying. I truly do. But it seems, you know, just being in conversation with the one that holds my life in his hands, the one that has the power to keep me safe and to save me. And that's been my habit. This week, as we take our journey through Lent and we go through these seven last words of Christ on the cross, we are focusing today on this sixth word of Jesus from the cross, which is, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Some versions say, "Commit my spirit." Either way, we are entrusting or binding ourselves to God. And at the heart of this statement of Christ on the cross is this ultimate trust that Jesus is placing in God the Father. In the midst of all that has transpired, the weight of sin of the world, the evil that has come upon him, the injustice that has placed him where he is, the pain and suffering that he is enduring, the darkness that has overcome him. In the end, you know, last week he said, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? But here he says, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. In you, Lord, I trust." And he is giving himself fully to God, trusting in him. And today I just want to reflect briefly with you on this word trust, and who we trust in, who we put our trust in, and what we trust in. And the word trust literally means to believe in the reliability of someone or something. The key word being reliable. To trust somebody or something is to know that they're going to follow through. They're going to do what they say. That it's going to be reliable. That we can count on it. Everything that we do in life has this implicit trust factor associated with it. We're always assessing, you know, how reliable something is. Of course, when we step foot onto an airplane, which is all very common, we are putting our life literally into the trust of the pilot and of the equipment. And we may not know this individual flying today, but we are trusting that person is well qualified and very capable to get us up and down and where we're going, and that the equipment's going to function the way that it is supposed to. But we trust all kinds of folks with all kinds of circumstances of our lives. We trust surgeons and doctors, bankers, and we trust advisors to give us sound advice. We trust legal systems to be fair. We trust our government to function as it is supposed to. We place our trust in all kinds of people and things. And we're always assessing that. I read an interesting article yesterday in the Wall Street Journal. It was titled New Secret Trust Score, was the title. And it said something that companies are now assessing, you know, like a credit score. It's not just a, you know, your credit. They're starting to take in more and more information about you and I based on what they consider to be the reliability factor. You know, how trustworthy maybe are we? How reliable are we going to be in certain situations, circumstances? Companies seem to be gathering more and more of this information to assess more and more of their ability to find out about how we react in certain times. And they're sharing this information, and nobody really knows how it's derived. But you can understand their desire to know more, and our desire to know more about the reliability of others. Trust is at the heart of all of our relationships in life. And we are always implicitly asking the question, you know, does this person deserve this trust? Are they worthy of our trust? We live in a time when trust seems to be eroding in a lot of places where we had once placed our trust, in institutions and in people and in systems. We live in the information age where we are consuming more and more and more information, and so we're learning more. There's also a disinformation age that we live in as well. And so there's competing information that we are now consumers of, and we're trying to figure out who can we trust. We're in a bit of a, it's hard to know sometimes, because some of the things that we have relied on in the past are not as reliable. We want to trust, we need to trust, but the question goes is, can we? Who? How? All of, trust is this thing that goes both ways. In our personal relationships with our friends, with our family, with our spouses, we need to be able to trust one another. Trust is something that we earn over time. We make deposits of trust into an account that establish trust. It seems to be harder to earn than it is to lose. When we violate a trust, it can be wiped away quite quickly and hard to recover. The problem is, of course, that we live in a fallen and broken world. We either intentionally or unintentionally do things that hurt one another, that disappoint others, that we let one another down. We don't always intend to do that, but it is a fact of our lives that we are sometimes held to expectations that are unrealistic and that we can't actually live into. That's when grace is important. We have to extend grace and forgiveness because we hold people to a higher standard than then what's realistic? Paul uses these words. He says we do the very things that we don't want to do, and we don't do the things that we ought to do. He's getting to the sense that this, you know, this conflict that is within me, I have a hard time even trusting that I know what's right for myself. I don't always know what's best for me. He addresses it more fully in our reading that Wayne read from the Philippians. He goes through all of his early credentials as a Hebrew of Hebrews. And he says, essentially, I used to trust in myself, my own abilities, my own intellect, and my own good skill. And I was pretty darn good at it, too, better than most. But whatever gains I had back then, I don't find them adequate. They were never good enough. They never could, attain to what I really needed, which was God's love, God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's life. And so I have gotten rid of all of that stuff. It means nothing to me anymore. Nothing except for the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus, my Savior. That is where my trust is. That is where my hope is. That is what my future is. So I put the past behind me and I strive forward for the goal of the prize that is found in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Every aspect of our lives, we find ourselves wanting to trust, but also oftentimes putting more trust in, you know, other people than we ought to. More trust than they actually are worthy of. The question is, do we put that same trust in God? Because, you know, putting trust in people is one thing, but putting trust in God is something completely different. Even when we're putting trust in people, we ought to be putting our trust in God, which stands over all things and in all things. Trusting our whole lives to Him. All of those things and all of those circumstances that we have to trust, we also trust in God. Do we trust Him in the difficult times of our lives? In the times of illness? In the times of disappointment? In the times of estrangement? In the times of being alone? Do we trust God when we've been treated wrongly, as Christ has on the cross, unjustly? Do we trust that He is just, that He is holy, that He is the one that's going to settle all things and make them right ultimately? That there's no way for us to do that. Only in Him. God is the one that has created us in love. He created us because He loved us. We were the ones that turned away because, you know, we had the choice to do that. But in our turning away from Him, He did not turn away from us. And when we return to Him, He is there waiting for us to forgive us, to restore us, to make us whole. And He loves us even today. Even in our unloveliness, God loves us. That is where His trustworthiness comes from. He is worthy because He is faithful. He is worthy because he's true to his word. Because his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, our colic acknowledges, I love this colic today, it acknowledges that we live among the swift and varied changes of this world. The swift and varied changes. What an understatement, right? Everything is changing. Everything changes. We're living in sifting sand, trying to find a firm footing, trying to find something that doesn't change to hold on to, something that doesn't wear out, doesn't grow old, doesn't go out of style, something that we don't have to keep up with. There's only one place to find that. And that's in the steadfast love of the Lord, the unchanging love of God. That is the one sure rock of our lives, the solid foundation. Jesus says, "Hold on to me for dear life, and I will hold on to you. I will never let you go." This is that great Hebrew word, hesed. And I don't say it right, but it is that steadfast love of God that never fails, endures forever, holds us tightly. Proverbs 3:5, you've heard it quoted many times. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Our understanding is not enough. It's finite. It doesn't perceive the whole truth, the whole picture, the whole plan. There's an element of surrendering ourselves to God, surrendering our lives to God. If we're going to really put our trust in Him, we have to, as Jesus did on the cross, surrender all of it to Him. All of the stuff that we trust others with, we entrust to God. We entrust ourselves to His hesed, His unfailing love. Lastly, our gospel reading, Judas, he's been with Jesus all this time. We have these two wonderful pictures. Lazarus has just been raised from the dead, prefiguring Christ's victory over death. They're at table together, getting ready 6 days before the Passover, and Judas, his true loyalties are exposed. His trust is in the purse, in the material value of the ointment, the perfume that could have been sold for a whole year's or maybe a life's earnings. You know, it was a lot of value. And all Judas could see was a waste of some valuable perfume. But Mary trusted in Jesus. She poured her whole life, the value of which was worth everything. She poured it upon Jesus' feet and she wiped them with her hair, bowing down and worshiping Him. Everything was lost and all was gained in Christ. Her trust was in Jesus as she poured herself in worship to Him. We pour ourselves out to God in trust and surrender to the one who has poured Himself out for us on the cross. Father, into your hands we commit our spirits. You have redeemed us, O Lord, for you are faithful. Amen.